Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. We are Skyping on my new computer for the first time. I'm hoping everybody's as excited as I am.
No one is.
No.
No one is.
All right, let's talk some wrestling. What do you got?
We do talk wrestling. Well, let's start by something that we thought should have happened at the TLC pay-per-view. Came to fruition this past Monday night on Raw, and that is Wade Barrett, your new Intercontinental Champion. Any thoughts on that?
Here's the thing. Here's my thought on it. Wade Barrett should be beating Kofi Kingston. And the reason they changed it was they were going to do the title change. It was always the plan. It's just at the last minute they decided they had too many heels winning. So,
right.
Yeah. That said, Wade Barrett should also always be beating Kofi Kingston. Who cares if it's for the IC belt or not? He should just be beating him because he has more potential right now. And I still think Kofi's got potential. I mean, Kofi kind of reminds me of Bret Hart, where he could hang around the mid-card for years, and when he finally gets his chance, maybe he takes off or maybe he doesn't.
Like, or is he Tito Santana?
But, I mean, that's 8.5 years in the WWF before Bret Hart gets his first world title shot, right? And wins it. So, I mean, it's okay. I mean, because Kofi's never fully buried, so I don't mind, you know, I mean, and he still has potential. I still think they fucked it up with him and Orton. I always think they fucked it up with him and Orton.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I got no problem with this, but Wade Barrett has more potential. He should always be beating him. The fact that it's for the IC belt, or maybe it's for the ice cream, you know, an ice cream from the shop down the street, because they have the same value, doesn't matter. It's just that he should be beating him. He should not be doing jobs to anybody.
If they put sprinkles on it, the ice cream becomes more valuable.
Pretty much. And that's the thing. So, I mean, yeah. The IC belt doesn't matter. I don't care about that. I just care that Wade Barrett should be beating Kofi Kingston and should not be jobbing to anybody right now. Unfortunately, once again, you've already beat Kofi, who's a mid-carder, but top of the mid-card.
Right.
And who else is at his level who he can beat next? Not a hell of a lot of people. I mean, maybe he beats
Alberto Del Rio. Well, no, they're all baby faces, I guess.
Who, you mean Wade
Alberto,
Barrett?
Was Alberto Del Rio? Oh, you mean who can
Wade Barrett
beat? Be Miz, you can beat Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio, I think they see as upper mid-card instead of mid-card. I don't see him doing the job to Wade Barrett right now. I'd have no problem with that. But, I mean, he's going to go after Sheamus. He looks like the next guy in line. In fact, it looks like it could be Mania. We could be seeing, Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show now.
Right, yeah. And that's, yeah, exactly. Well, I think the plan
still is... Because
they've
done such a good fucking job with the turn.
I did enjoy, though, when the Big Show's in the ring and Booker T's got the tumbler there and they picked the name out of the tumbler and it's Santino. And Santino looks and goes, "Are you sure you didn't mean Benito Santana?" It's like, okay, that's that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, Wade Barrett against Alberto Del Rio is at least a new match.
It's a new match. I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I'd definitely like it, and I'd like it at Mania. There's no question. But I think I just don't think that's the direction they're going. So like I say, there's The Miz. I could definitely see Wade Barrett versus The Miz happening. It's also, again, a fresh match, at least.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a fresh match with The Miz, so it's hard to get it excited.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But that could lead to more scintillating Miz TV. I fucking hate him.
Yeah, that's shit.
That was absolute shit. But
gets out there. So I mean, it's I don't know who else does Wade Barrett have who we can beat though. I mean, there's not a lot else. Who else is at that level that he's at right now? You know.
Well, no, that's just it. I mean, he can go through his nominal title defenses against guys like Brodus Clay and
those don't mean anything though. I mean, maybe when Christian comes back, I'm guessing Christian shows up at the Royal Rumble as a special entrant. Though it feels like
I would think so.
it feels like we were at this just last year talking about Christian. It's like the exact same situation, thinking he's going to be at the Royal Rumble, and you know, and then he doesn't get back till after Mania, and he never regained the momentum he had prior to, you know, his first injury a year ago there. So,
no, that's right. But he had that scintillating appearance at Slammiversary.
That's true.
You know, so. Well, speaking of Slammiversary, which is like a huge pay-per-view.
Huge.
Let's talk about the Royal Rumble.
Huge pay-per-view?
The Royal Rumble is a huge pay-per-view. We have three entrants, one-tenth of the Royal Rumble field already announced.
Okay.
John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Is the first entrant into the Royal Rumble, followed by Randy Orton and Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Three names in the Royal Rumble already.
What's interesting to me is on Raw, Randy Orton came out to a monster pop. There had been talk of turning him heel and having him go against Sheamus. Certainly they're on the same team, the same side here against the Shield. I get the feeling they're gonna second guess that after that reaction. I do not believe we're going to see Randy Orton turn heel based on the reaction he got on Raw. I think that's going to change their mind.
Think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I'd rather see Randy Orton as a heel, but the thing is though, is because you need Randy Orton to go heel because they've just been so solidly behind Alberto Del Rio as a babyface.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, they've done such a good job.
They haven't decided to turn him and then turn him back and then turn him again.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Explanation. So that's no.
I love running over Santa though. That's always classic.
Yeah, was that Foley? I couldn't tell, but
I don't know. That's what Foley looks like anyway. So
it's true. That's true. So, but yeah. So those three members in the
he's
Royal
moving pretty
Rumble,
good for Foley.
That's true. So it wasn't Foley.
Yeah.
Foley doesn't move as good as Santa.
No. I'm pretty sure it was Foley, though.
Yeah. Who else would you see in the field of 30 for this Royal Rumble?
Okay, Christian, obviously. Ryback.
Yeah, we just said
the three Shield members, that's six. Miz, seven.
Kofi, eight.
Kofi, eight.
Because he had that big spot last year, right?
Yeah. Wade Barrett, nine. I think either Wade Barrett or Cesaro will not be in it, will defend the title and not be in. I get that feeling. One of them probably won't be in. So, Sheamus, we already said him, right?
We did. He's already confirmed, actually. So,
okay, so people coming
but
back.
Hell no.
Pardon me? Yeah, hell no. Hell no. I can see them in. And same with
Brodus.
What's that?
Brodus Clay, your fat guy in there.
Yeah, that's what. Right. What are we up to, like 14?
Well, that would be 12.
12? Well, okay, so the Rhodes Scholars, that means it's 14.
Right, now we're 14. That's a good
one. Of the guys getting in is... one of the guys getting in is...
Santino.
What's that?
Santino's definitely in.
Santino get in. One of the guys getting in is the guy who's going to win the tournament of wrestling matches the day of the event. So I think you made a prediction to me already. Who was it you said? Tyson Kidd?
Tyson Kidd.
That's your prediction on that? He's a solid prediction. He's the exact type of guy who wins that. And that's a way to get him in there. So I could see that.
Sin Cara will be back. So that's 17.
Sin Cara will be back. Ray, maybe?
Yeah, maybe Ray at 18.
We don't know about Mark Henry, do we?
No, it doesn't look like... I'm in the feeling that Mark Henry's not coming back.
Yeah, I've always kind of had that feeling. Ziggler?
And that was in 1998 you had that feeling.
Yeah, no kidding. Ziggler? Big E? Either one of them?
Probably Ziggler. I don't know about Big E yet, but Ziggler for sure would be 19.
Primetime players?
Yeah, now we're up to 21. Usos?
Usos? One of them will get to be it, another one won't. That's how they do it with the Usos. Remember when they did that? Their music played, both came down, then one of them just kind of shook their hands and left, and the other one was like
and
the weirdest.
Decided, yeah, which one to do. But, yeah. Okay, well, if we did both Usos, we'd be up to, what, 23?
Yeah.
who are we missing on this stellar card? I mean, because you wouldn't have. You got to have an opponent for the Big Show.
Well, who's going to be a special? I mean, Billy Gunn looks very likely to be somebody.
Billy Gunn, you know, I would not be surprised to see Perry Saturn in the Royal Rumble.
Are you shitting me?
Been doing training work for them. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
I understand he was supposed to be in the Royal Rumble, but they couldn't find him.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, it was all set to mop up the floor.
He's seriously doing training work for him.
Yeah, he's been a trainer in Florida, like, for, God, off and on for a while now. That's why, that's it. That's the reason I would put him in that surprise category.
I think Perry said it would be a hard enough, it would be a hardcore crowd at the Royal Rumble. That always is. So Perry Saturn probably would get some recognition. Nobody at home would know who he is generally, but I think he'd get some recognition. How many years since he's been on TV? I didn't even know he was doing training. I mean, he did not leave. Number one, after doing training, he literally became a homeless person, drug addict, strung out, almost dead. Lost his memory, had amnesia. Was in some incident where somebody tried to shoot somebody. I think he ended up getting shot or something like that.
Yeah, he got shot or something, yeah. He's got a Mike Tyson tattoo now.
Yeah, on his face. That's right.
Yeah.
Not a tattoo of Mike Tyson.
No, but like Mike Tyson,
like
yes.
Mike Tyson. And he didn't exactly leave them under good circumstances. He wasn't, he never got that over. He wasn't overly professional, obviously, the way he beat the shit out of that one guy. What's his name?
Bell.
Mike Bell or whatever.
Yeah, Mike Bell. That was awesome.
He lost his temper on him and decided to beat him up in the ring. So, I mean, I didn't even know he was training them, honestly, and I can't imagine him being there. It's possible, but
I'm just saying.
I would think a Goldust would be a better chance.
Goldust is always a chance.
I think a Fit Finley for a one shot could be a chance.
We're in Arizona.
So?
So do we, Alberto Del Rio is not going to be in it, right? So Alberto Del Rio isn't going to drive his car down to the Royal
Rumble. Is Alberto
Del
Rio not going to be in it?
Well, I assume he's going to fight the Big Show at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I suppose, even though, like you say, Sheamus isn't 100% done. But yeah, you're probably right.
What if someone got their long sideburns and their hair slicked back? They were going to do the town in their pink Cadillac.
Nope, it won't happen.
It won't happen. In Arizona?
Nope.
It's in his backyard.
Doesn't matter.
Why won't that happen?
Because he's fat. He's out of shape. He doesn't have a he's just not, he's not somebody they're going to put in.
He's the honky-tonk man.
Yeah.
He's the honky-tonk man.
Yeah. They're not going to put him in.
He's the honky-tonk man.
He's cool. He's cool. Cocky. He's fat.
He's fat.
He's not a honky-tonk man.
What about, and I'm just going to say what I think of guys in the potential Hall of Famers as well, Rick the Model Martel.
It's possible.
You just think of a guy that's a mid-carder that was an Ironman record holder at one point at 45 minutes, and think about in the 1990s. I think that's
Bob Backlund is the type of guy who has an outside shot. Like I say, I'm looking at guys like Fit Finley.
What if it's Vader time?
Pardon me?
What about his Vader time?
I don't think so.
After the reaction that he got on the
Raw. Yeah, and he'll get a massive reaction again, but they...
And then he could be at FanFest.
The only reason is because Vader's son's in developmental.
Yes.
That's the reason
why. If he's at FanFest, then I could get him to take a picture next to you, and we could put it on the website asking people to guess who's who.
Vader. You're so lucky we're doing this on Skype.
A lot of wheat.
I'm looking at guys that I think they've kind of learned a lesson. Number one, last year's. Okay, let's just look at last. I'm going to look at. No, I'm hoping they've learned a lesson. It's probably a better way to look at it. Because we're going to be there.
We are.
Look at the last 3 years, okay? Last year they did the announcers thing that didn't get over. Right? The year before it was like Road Dogg and...
No, that was the same year. It was with the announcers, was Road Dogg.
Was it? Then who was it the year before?
The year before was the good one.
That was the Nash.
With Nash and Booker.
Okay. So I think they have an idea that if you're going to bring people back, it needs to be people that are recent enough to get a massive reaction, but people still have an idea maybe they can still go. One of the reasons why Nash, even though he couldn't still go, but he got a reaction, and Booker T got a reaction, was because, hey, this is a surprise guy that people kind of thought could do well. And I think if you put in a Rick the Model Martel or a Honky Tonk Man, the reason they're not going to go with them is because they did that spot with Roddy and Snuka of guys who are that nostalgia pop, you know, but people don't really believe in and really believe is going to win or do well. I think they're going to look at people that people are going to react to, not just a nostalgia pop, but they're going to react like, hey, maybe he's going to do something. And I think that's why a Fit Finley is, I think, a better, you know.
Well, but I mean, Fit, I don't know the reaction of Fit Finley gets. I mean, I guess he'd no more than a Rick Martel. He wouldn't get a pop. I mean, no one would give a shit about Fit Finley. He'd probably get the same reaction.
At the Royal Rumble, he will get a massive reaction. JBL was able to come in. He would get a massive reaction.
Well, JBL is different than Fit Finley.
Ron Simmons even would probably get a big reaction.
Yes, he would, because these guys, I mean, he's got the damn, and he's over, and he's got the music. He was a commentator and was on. Who the fuck is Fit Finley? Finley would get the same reaction as Bob Holly. Not even the same reaction as Bob Holly.
Bob Holly would also get a big reaction. Both would get a big reaction.
What about William Regal?
I would do it because he's going to get a big reaction. They won't do it, I don't think.
Well, he just played into a lot of storylines with Sheamus lately, too, right? So, I mean, he's been around that it's, you know.
It's possible.
So it's
possible.
I mentioned it, but I'm trying to think of who else from that. Because if you're going to go with a reactionable guy, I mean, really anybody from that Raw 1000.
Well, that's it. I don't think they're going to and that's why I don't think it's going to be Vader. I think if he showed up for Raw 1000, I doubt they're bringing you back again.
See, I maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, you look at the New Age Outlaws were at the Slammies, and they'll, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I suppose.
It's just one of the, I mean, I don't think the Boogeyman would be in the
Road Dogg didn't Rumble. Get a very big reaction last year. So.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, did for me.
If they bring back the Boogeyman. Is Evan Bourne have any chance to come back?
No, Evan Bourne's still out to probably after Mania.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I don't know who else there. I mean, there's your Chris Masters. There's your, you know, like you said, Goldust. Christian is you know, a good, you know.
Christian has a good shot of getting back.
But, I mean, again, I don't know that you don't look at that.
I'll throw this one out there. This is crazy, but. Matt Hardy. A one shot.
One shot.
It's like RVD when they got him back for one shot. Huge reaction.
Matt Hardy would get a huge reaction, yes. What if he did this spot where Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart are in, and then your next entrant is Jerry Lawler, and he takes their finish?
The heart attack.
Is that what it was called?
It may have been.
It was like a bear hug clothesline.
Fucking idiot.
Hate Waller.
As an announcer, yeah, yeah,
yeah. What about Michael McGillicuddy?
It's possible.
Possible. Alex Riley?
That's possible.
Well, we never mentioned Zack Ryder either.
Zack Ryder, I think, would be in, for sure.
I don't think for sure at all.
No, you're right. For sure is probably a little strong.
Yeah.
Do they have a female who's going to be in this time? They like to do that spot. They've done that a few times lately.
Lita.
Yeah, I was thinking actually somebody on the roster. I could picture an Eve Torres in there, believe it or not. Or I could even picture, tell you the truth, I could even picture AJ in there.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Especially if Big E's in there.
Yeah. Is it Big Easy?
Yeah. How was Jack's wife?
Big.
And easy.
Trying to think of, what about, we've got the Royal Rumble here, and we talked about Raw 1000, but...
20th anniversary?
20th anniversary is on the 14th of January.
Yeah, does anything play in? Do we get a hint of who's going to be there? The question. Again, are they better off? Remember the year that they announced ahead of time Goldust was coming back, and Jake Roberts was coming back?
Was Godfather, Goldust, and Mr. Perfect were the guys that came back that one year?
Yes, that's right. And they announced it ahead of time. And tell you the truth, it created buzz because people were like, oh, I want to see those guys again. Not a huge amount of buzz, but a little bit. Are you better off doing that, or are you better off having the surprise entrances? Or should you do three guys who are coming back that people would like to see and one surprise entrance?
That's kind of the thing is now what's that better? I think they think the surprise is better. I wanted to see Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
They did the whole, I wanted to see Jake Roberts that year, the 96 Rumble when he came back. I wanted to see Vader, hyped up Vader's debut. I was telling everybody when I was in university at that point, you know, it's like, you got to see, because they all just watched WWF, and it's like, you got to see this fucking Vader guy.
Yep, exactly.
He's awesome. And I had no idea they'd, you know.
Fuck it up.
Elbow!
Yeah.
But I could see, I'm a proponent of announcing everybody in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe leaving a couple spots open.
Again, it comes down to, we're talking about effectiveness. We're talking about when we knew Jake Roberts was going to be in, Mr. Perfect, and this, we were excited for that.
Yes.
But 2 years ago, we didn't know about Nash and Booker T till the day of. No, wait. So pretty much the day of, the day before, and as soon as that was happening, we bought. Last year, we didn't know anybody. And we were sitting there, and we bought it, and we literally were sitting there going, who's going to be this year's Nash and Booker T? And it was Road Dogg, and I think Sergeant Slaughter.
Goldust, I believe.
Yeah, and fucking the announcers. So it's like you fooled me once, shame on me, fooled me twice. Or fooled me, you know, what the fuck that saying is.
I know.
Yeah.
So, well, this year, so John
I don't
Cena's
think they can do that again. Even if they pull out like a Matt Hardy this year and it gets a big reaction one time, I don't really believe that is it going to create buys for next year? I don't think so. I think it's kind of like, okay, you did that. You surprised us and you made us think that you're going to do this every year and then you didn't. So.
Well, and they'll just turn around and go, well, we never said we'd do it every year, right? I mean, fuck. Yeah. And it's true. But
I think if they announced Matt Hardy was going to be in the Royal Rumble, that would mean more buys than if he's a surprise entrance.
I think so.
They'd love the pop, and he'd still get the pop.
Well, that's just it, is that they just are into this. And then, see, and if you don't announce, say, Christian.
Yeah.
You know.
Chris Jericho?
Well, there's Chris Jericho could be as well. Yeah. But, I mean, let's say Christian comes back. You know
what
I mean?
That's a surprise pop.
There's your surprise guy who's still under contract, not a return.
Yeah.
So you can still surprise guys under contract returning, but if you're going to have your returning, say, legends or stars or whatever.
Who was the first guy who was a surprise guy?
I'm trying to remember. The first guy that I can remember being a surprise guy was Haku. There had to have been... but even the year before that, they did the Mick Foley had all three.
Right. They had all three. But there was no way, there was a point in time when there was no way they weren't announcing everybody. Like now they don't even bother announcing more than like 20.
Well, now it's just, some of the guys will say, and they never go through.
But I mean, 1993, we knew everybody.
Oh, yeah. And
I think there was one when it was like, who will be the mystery member or the mystery announcement? They did build it up 1 year, but it's been a long time since they've announced anybody. Now, who's the best? Who are the best surprise guys? Bring me your top two or three best surprise guys.
Well, I mean, I do think that Nash and Booker T that year
were both great.
Were both great.
And the year RVD came out, that huge reaction was great.
Yeah, that one was great. The Snuka Piper confrontation.
Well, what made that was CM Punk.
Oh yeah, just sitting there on the on the canvas, just eyes wide open, big grin on his face, just watching it. But it was just because they had I think Piper came out first.
Yeah.
And then they were fighting, and then it was like two guys later, and all of a sudden it was like soup, soup, soup of fly, and like me, you, and B were like. Oh, but like, yeah, you know,
that's the thing. We watched it in the theater. We're like, this is cool. Nobody else around us really gave a shit. You know who the best surprise entrance of all time is?
She John Cena that year.
Yes. That's who I was going with. That was the best surprise they ever did. And that's when it was effective.
Yes. Because the best surprise for me was the guy when John Cena won at the theater, like, cursing and staring, like throwing his pop on the ground.
He threw his popcorn in the air. His pop on the ground. He's so pissed off that Cena won.
Oh, that was tremendous. But yeah, that was great. I mean, those are
the surprises. The surprises have a time. They have a place.
I look more fondly onto the returns, like the return of Jake the Snake, the return of Mr. Perfect, like we said, because Mr. Perfect got a little run after that.
Yep.
You know.
Until he got into an argument with Brock Lesnar on a plane.
Wrestled Brock on a plane. That's right.
Amateur style. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whoop, amateur style. Then he got into an argument with some cocaine.
And he also lost that one.
He did.
Yeah.
I blame James Storm. But I'm trying to think of anybody else that... you know what I mean? Well, that came back. Think of another one that announced to come back with Impact was Triple H.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. When he was
Triple H, and that was announced ahead of time.
That was his first match. He had been back, but that was his first match.
He was back on the Raw at Madison Square Garden on the Go Home show, I think it was.
Yeah.
To say, or close to, anyway, to say. But, yeah, I think, you know, what about, you know, it was a surprise. Maybe not as effective as Drew Carey.
No, I know. He actually was a surprise. I think they had actually announced all 30 people that year, and I think somebody lost their spot to him, if I remember correctly. But yeah, Drew Carey.
Well, and in the same one, that's when Haku came in as the WCW Hardcore Champion.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. But yeah, there's been plenty of surprises over the years. I don't know, as I said, that's part of the fun too, is looking at, you know, who could they do. As I said, we know that
your
it's
mom?
Not like Hulk Hogan's not coming back in the Rumble. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
But it's like Randy Savage, Flair, Steamboat, Michaels, Bret. Those guys aren't coming back in the Rumble, but it's all these other, you know, who can they get? Like you said, a Matt Hardy is probably the perfect example of what they could do right now for that mid-card pop.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly. And then they can decide afterwards if he gets a run or not. It doesn't really matter because it's about the pop that night, right?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, and then, you know, pop that night, show up at the Rumble or the Raw, you know, whatever the next, you know, just see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. Blue Meanie.
But we're talking about, Blue Meanie and JBL.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That'd be great.
That would be great, actually.
He beat JBL on... JBL did the most lackluster job since Triple H... This was before. Triple H and Jeff Hardy. This was even worse. This was the... Yeah, go ahead. That was the most pin-me-pay-me moment in the history of Raw, probably.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's just awful.
Yeah, you got a job, we got to make up for it. Pin me, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see where we are next year.
Exactly. Anyways, what were we going to say? What else you got?
Well, I was going to mention one more name, someone that we'd mentioned actually twice previous. And, you know, it's always a possibility that that we get the biggest wrestling star to ever come out of Tecula, Mexico.
Huh?
Chico.
Oh. I think Carlito's a better chance than Chico.
I don't think Carlito would wake up.
he works Independence.
No, he appears on Independence.
Yeah, that's true. That's better. That's better. X-Pac? Could X-Pac show up?
Because he's got a hat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So,
how did
if he didn't, he would.
It's weird. You know, that guy's such a clean lifestyle. I don't know how that.
I know
how that happened.
You know, there was one night where he was in China.
Yeah.
And
stuff happened.
Stuff really did happen.
That night he had sex with a transsexual.
You know, stuff was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of having sex, now, did you see, now that Mae Young's hand is all grown up, hand and younger brother.
Yeah, she fucked Finlay.
She fucked Vince McMahon.
No, Finlay.
Vince McMahon, because isn't Hornswoggle Vince's? Or did that later come out that it was Finlay's?
It later came out it was Finlay's.
Oh, letter came out.
Yeah.
It's the words.
Yeah. He came out.
My favorite part of this is that the doctor goes over Mae Young's stomach with a stethoscope and says, she's pregnant. She's with child. I'm like, oh, really? Yes, your stethoscope should be able to tell this.
The whole thing was so ridiculous that I don't know.
He admitted this policy.
You know, you got to know there's somebody back there going, you know who would be great in the Royal Rumble is that Mae Young.
That would be me.
You know who I'd like to see in the Royal Rumble is the Sheik, Iron Sheik.
Sheiky baby. But no, then he'd have to win.
I know, exactly.
Sheik and the Rock at WrestleMania. The big Sheik show.
That would be fantastic. Sheik versus the Rock.
That's right. Would you imagine the promos?
Oh, it'd be incredible.
Speaking of the Rock and of Raw.
I'm going to stick up your Rudy Poo candy ass. I fuck your ass.
I'm going to fuck your ass, you Rudy Poo jabroni.
I'm the man with the 8-inch cock.
I am the man with the 10-inch cock.
10-inch, you're right. It's 10 inches. My mistake. I shouldn't have slated him.
I know. Jesus.
Yeah.
Damn Jew, Mo.
All right.
Raw on Monday.
Yeah, it happened.
No, it's going to happen. I don't care about the last one. That was New Year's. That meant nothing.
No,
I got a 2.4 in the ratings.
Yeah, so it did better than you would have expected.
That's about on par, actually, I expected. I get 2.3, 2.4. I mean, yeah. But this coming Monday, the return of The Rock.
Uh-huh.
We've got
CM Punk.
I'm going
to predict right now 2.8.
2.8, yeah. Well, it's a national championship game as well, right?
NCS so, game's on head-to-head, right?
Yeah. So that's, yeah, 2.8's probably, 2.7, 2.8's probably, of, you know, should be considered a victory there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Rock's returning. We got TLC, CM Punk, and the Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
Because WWE.com reporting that CM Punk cleared to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? Still an outside shot that it could be Ryback and Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm. Which would mean somebody like The Shield or Lesnar will come down and interfere.
Yes. Well, Brock are not slated at this point to return until late February.
Yeah, that's... sometimes they plant these stories so they can get a reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just don't see Lesnar coming out, but I mean, you never know. You never know.
The thing with Lesnar is right now the idea is still Triple H versus Lesnar. How the hell do you get there? Because there's nothing you can do to make me want to see that match right now because it's why Triple H is
stupid.
Fully in stupid. His
stupidness.
Executive role off camera and on
where he's stupid
and the last Jesus, I just thought I could keep going and eventually you would stop, but but he is fully in that role, and there is nothing that you can do to make me think that Fuck, I am losing my train of thought. Cause here's the thing. He's fully in that role, and he is in that role both on and off camera. And the last time he had a match, he lost his match. Brock Lesnar, on the other hand, it's not like Brock Lesnar's just gone waiting for his next challenge. Brock Lesnar also quit. So storyline-wise, Brock Lesnar is gone and quit. Triple H is an executive who lost his last match and seems happy in that role, and it seems retired. So how do you possibly make a guy who is retired and a guy who is retired come back for this match? Like, how do you bring him? What can Triple H do to get Lesnar back? I can't see anything because Lesnar already beat him.
I'll tell you exactly what they do and exactly how they do it.
Okay.
It is, again, if Brock does help Punk beat the Ryback, right? He's a Paul Heyman guy, right? Mm-hmm. So that's easy. I called in a favor for my friend Brock Lesnar. Right. And now Brock is back, and Brock is here to dominate. 2013 is going to be the year of Brock or whatever, right? And so Brock does continue to just, you know, decimate guys, you know, by jumping them. And lo and behold, who is the only motherfucker that can stop Brock Lesnar? But not all, just the greatest superstar, the biggest, fiercest, most dominant wrestler to ever lace up a pair of boots, the one, the only, the almighty God, Triple H.
The guy who lost to him clean last time.
That's how they do it.
That makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. That's how they do it.
I'm not saying that you can't build a match between, hey, I'm Triple H and I want my honor back. I want one last shot at you. I'm saying that the way they've built this storyline, there is nothing that would make Lesnar, the Lesnar character, who's just such a self-centered prick, already beat you and he walked away. What would make him come back?
Yeah.
It's more about the psychology of Lesnar's character. How do you get him to come back than really about Triple H? Triple H would want that one last match, though it should again be Triple H, I don't want to come back. I'm running this company and I lost. I lost to The Undertaker. I lost to him. I'm done. And Shawn Michaels going, no, you don't remember what that motherfucker did to me? I can't come back and take him on. You got to come back and take him on. Not just for me, but for yourself. You got to do this. But then again, so it's not about the Triple H character. I can build a storyline that. I can't build a storyline except for Lesnar coming back, except for that he's protecting his little buddy Paul. And I don't see that with Triple H even happening.
You know what the carrot is here? You know how you get it? Brock says no. Brock says no. Brock says no. I got nothing to prove. I beat you. You got nothing to prove. I beat you.
And he loves to stick that. The character loves to stick it in. I got nothing to prove. I beat you. Like the character loves that.
Yes. You face me at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar. You face me. You're not going to beat me. But if you can, you will get 5 minutes alone with Shawn Michaels. Okay. That, you know.
I don't even see why he would want that. He has no issue with Shawn Michaels history-wise. He was already beat him up.
He's a prick that, wants to just beat the shit. Let's just say that Shawn super kicked Brock a couple times leading up to this then. He's gotten, you know what I mean? Brock's around, and Shawn sneaks in, hops the rail, super kicks Brock, right? And just really gets under. So Brock just wants to get at the guy, but Shawn can't wrestle because he's retired.
I think the problem with that is it still builds up too much the idea that the real match, and this is the problem leading it to the SummerSlam, the real match is Brock versus HBK. And you still don't get rid of that issue doing this. You know how I do it? I just thought of this now, and this is brilliant. I'm fucking brilliant. Oh. You know how you do it?
Fucking your mother.
Paul Heyman, bragging. I've been CM Punk. CM Punk's lost the title. CM Punk is going to regain the title. He's my guy. Brock Lesnar has devastated John Cena, and then he destroyed that pathetic Triple H at SummerSlam. He keeps on needling him. Triple H comes out. You know what? I want Brock one more time. I got to prove it. Oh, he has no reason. He's retired. Brock's not coming back. If Brock beats me at WrestleMania, beats me one more time, I'll give him my shares of the company. I'll give you, Paul Heyman, my share of the company.
Yeah.
You'll be running. The WWE will no longer be the McMahon families. It'll be yours. That's how you do it.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, I could see that. And then Stephanie comes out and no.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
yeah, I could see that.
All right. We fantasy booked that. Is there any other possible roles for Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania? How about for Ric Flair at WrestleMania? Any other roles for either one of those two guys?
I only really see Ric Flair as inducting someone into the Hall of Fame. You know, just again being back. I don't see him as any kind of.
Is there any chance that someday Ric Flair inducts Eric Bischoff into the Hall of Fame? That'd be the greatest thing ever. Ever.
Oh, Flair wouldn't. I don't think Flair would do it.
I know. That would be the greatest thing ever. All right, anyways.
Sure.
Okay, so you think Ric Flair inducts somebody?
I just think Flair's an inducting guy, you know, inducts like the Freebirds or, you know, something like that into the hall. And that's it. I can't see him actually being a performer. I don't see any real, at this point,
I see him being a performer in some way. Not in a match, but a performer, you know.
Well, unless he's going to manage the Rhodes Scholars and they, you know, and they're in. Nah, but, I mean, I don't see Flair as a ref. Like, I don't.
Oh, not a point. I mean, who else could he manage? Who else? Who are the best guys for him to manage? And I don't think the Rose Goers are good.
Well, there's the. Well,
could he manage? Hell no.
Yeah, I guess you could. I mean, again, what I don't want to see with Flair, and I don't want the tendency with Flair to be, you know, like what they did with AJ, right? Where they just tried to turn AJ Styles and TNA into, like, this new Ric Flair.
No.
Right? This young, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. Take a perfect baby face and turn him into a heel Ric Flair. Well,
even if they had picked, you know, let's just say Bobby Roode fit that mold better and they did that, I still wouldn't want to see that.
No, that's true.
You know, I don't
want
to see Flair and Flair Jr. So that's where, again, kind of the Rhodes Scholars were okay for me.
I don't think he can be a heel, so I don't think you give him a heel team.
Well, that's the other thing. But then I mean, individual baby faces. Then, you know, who does he can't? I don't see him managing Kofi.
No.
I don't see him managing. You know, like I don't see him managing Del Rio.
Could it be a second generation guy? Could you try and if you think Michael McGillicuddy and they go back to calling him by his real name?
Actually, yeah, I could definitely see that one. If you want to use Flair to build a young guy up, then yeah, that would be good. If you wanted to use Ric Flair to build a guy up that's shown that they won't do this, but to build a guy up that shows that he actually cares about shit, then that's when you can give Zack Ryder a makeover.
I thought you were going to say Ted DiBiase Jr. You know,
he just hurt himself again, so he's not, you know, with his $1.99 merchandise, he's not long for this world of WWE.
Sucks.
But you could repackage Zack Ryder, you know, keep Zack, but have a vignette where, you know, he gives up the goofiness and goes with Flair and
you
starts.
You could do that, yeah. I like McGillicuddy and him more.
Yeah, I do McGillicuddy. Well, actually, I think that's a good one. But, yeah, I mean, Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, no. I mean, Usos, no. I mean, really, I mean, we're running thin on the roster.
And that's,
so.
Again, it's if I could give him a heel, you know, him and Wade Barrett's great, or him and Ziggler's great, but I can't give him a heel. So this is where it becomes, that's where it becomes a little bit difficult. But I like the idea of a second-generation guy. And
if I could give him a heel, Antonio Cesaro would be great as well.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of, you know, having trouble finding the right guy. You know, it's not, you can't get, like you say, Kofi isn't as bad as, say, Sin Cara, but it's still not good.
No, exactly. Flair's, I can't roll for Flair at Mania, right? So that's, I mean, who knows? Anything can change. One place I can see a role for Ric Flair in is
who's the general manager again right now? Is it still Vicky?
Yes, the acting director or managing director.
It's still acting, whatever. Could you give that to a Flair? Or can, any chance Flair could become a... Would Flair make a good color commentator?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because I mean, you watch him on these roundtables. He just wants to... Flair's one of those guys that he can talk about himself.
Yeah.
And that's about it, right? So, I mean, no, I couldn't see Flair as a commentator.
No, you're right, yeah.
Could see him in All Japan Pro Wrestling on January 26th.
Yeah, that's true. His son is being traded over there, Reed. Now, what was Reed's drug problem he had?
Heroin.
Okay. He's a Flair.
Woo!
One more time.
Woo!
Sorry, what was that?
Woo! But Ric Flair and the Great Muda against Fujinami and Sanada.
Yeah.
Is the match. Now, what day is the Rumble?
The 27th.
Okay, because this is the day before the Royal Rumble.
Okay, if we weren't at the Fan Fest, but we'll be busy.
Oh, no, I'm just saying it's the day before the Royal Rumble, so that kind of eliminates Flair from any Royal Rumble festivities.
No, well, the thing is, it's, yeah, okay, we're what, like, we're talking about 8 hours, 10 hours difference. But when he flies backwards, he gains a day, remember, from Japan?
That's true, so it'll only be, like, the 25th there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like Hulk Hogan used to do in his book.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan. Bullshit. How about this bullshit? Hulk Hogan, if he just gets his knee surgery and it turns out okay, he wants to get one more run with the world title in TNA.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, official first bullshit of 2013. Of the year.
You know what that is, though. I mean, honestly.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean,
because I want to yell at this fucker.
Look at this,
I would like him to have what happened to Jerry Lawler on TV. I wouldn't mind if that happened to Hulk Hogan and got him the fuck off my TV.
Look what happened. Look at the timing of this, though. Who comes back at the Slammies, and then 3 days later, Hulk Hogan is trying to make a rumbling and get people talking about him.
The boogie.
Everybody's talking about Flair. And the ego of Hulk Hogan says, you know, just going to say something really stupid and outlandish, like, I want another run with the TNA title. I know he doesn't believe it. He doesn't.
The way he's been on TV over the last 3-4 months, I don't know. He's been putting himself over. He's been having all the ace and eights guys bump all over for him. He's putting himself over against all the guys. Like, he's the toughest guy in the room still. I still think he wants it and kind of believes he could do it. I don't think anybody would believe or want it except for, well, Dixie, because she's a mark. She's a fucking idiot. She would go for it.
But
other than that, I mean, I really think that he would love to do it.
Well, of course, he would love to do it in a perfect world, but like I said, he's just blowing smoke, so people like us will talk about it.
Oh, no, I really think he thinks that he would be the best thing for that fucking company is if he could do it one more time. And I don't know. He's got such a huge fuck. And what?
Yeah. Ego is just people need to talk about Hulk Hogan.
Rick Flair was at his opening of his new club that they're trying to do for this reality show on CMT, too.
Yeah.
A couple days ago. But you really...
They're friends.
They're friendly. But here's the thing about him. If he's just jealous over Flair, he's got to fucking get over it. Because here's the truth.
He's never going to.
He's a bigger star than Flair. Much bigger mainstream star. Much better known. Bigger star than Flair could ever hope to be. Made a lot... made more money. A bigger, more important star in the history of the industry than Ric Flair. But he'll never be as respected as Ric Flair. Just like Ric Flair is a bigger star and made, you know, more famous and more important than Shawn Michaels, but Shawn Michaels will always be more respected than Ric Flair. It's all levels. You got to be happy with where you are.
Shawn Michaels will be more respected than Ric Flair?
Shawn Michaels?
Oh, is it like a performer, you mean?
Shawn Michaels is more respected than Ric Flair.
as a performer.
Whereas Ric Flair is more respected than Hulk Hogan.
Not as a human being.
I think maybe he was Bret. Even at this point, I think Shawn Michaels, even at this point, is more respected as a human being, yes.
Then Ric Flair, well, see, they had kind of the
right now, yes. He has greater respect than Ric Flair. Ric Flair is a big star. He's a bigger mainstream star than Shawn Michaels ever could hope to be. But Shawn Michaels is more respected. Just like Ric Flair is more respected than Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's a bigger mainstream star. That's the way it goes.
That's true. It's like John Cena's got really a lot of more respect. No?
The fuck are you talking? I don't even know what the hell where you're going with that.
Well, you're just talking about how it's a trickle-down effect, right? For each generation.
Okay, I wasn't even thinking about generation. I mean, it's just, you know, just the way it is.
Oh, okay.
Individually.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that one. Speaking of huge stars, did you see the Forbes?
We're talking about
Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine came out with the best cost-effective box office stars.
Oh, yeah, definitely my penis then.
Number 8 on the list was The Rock, who, as it turns out, is a huge movie star.
Move on, Addy. Move on.
Did you see The Neutralizer on The Great Khali?
Yes, fucking idiot. You know I watched it with you while I was online talking with you on Skype just before the show.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
It was pretty cool. Again, they need to put packages of him doing that to Brodus and him doing that to Khali over and over again. And then they need to never put him in there with Ryback again for a long time, because they need to build up Ryback as being an unbelievable powerhouse. And they need to build up Cesaro as being an unbelievable powerhouse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't need to build up Wade Barrett as being a powerhouse. He's gimmicky different, right?
No, he's a bare-knuckle fighter.
He's a bare-knuckle fighter, and he's smart. That could be his.
Because all the other wrestlers wear gloves. But not Wade Barrett. He's a bare-knuckle fighter.
That's fucking right. Watch your ass. So,
hey, you know what we didn't talk about last week? Was
feud
of the year.
Feud of the year. No, that's true. Somebody sent me that message on Twitter. He's like, why the hell? You guys are looking back at last year, and you talked about most entertaining and matches, and you didn't bring a feud of the year, which is, I was like, I don't know. Just didn't happen that way, but because we were kind of going through it formally. So I don't know what's your feud of the year.
I'm trying to think. I have two.
Okay.
I have
two as well.
I may even be able to go with three. What? I'll go with. I mean, this year, in terms of the WWE, I'll start there because there's one for TNA and two for TNA and one for WWE actually. Okay. I mean, I still have to go with Cena and The Rock in terms of the feud for WWE of the year. I can't think of any other feud that really interested me.
Okay, I mean, for me, okay, I'll give you my two here, okay? My feud of the year was Bully Ray versus Joseph Park.
Well, that was one of my TNA ones.
Because
yeah,
it was everybody played their role so perfectly. It was just really well done. Not great wrestling, but tremendously entertaining and very, very logical. And everybody performed really, really well. Really well. Mm-hmm. My other one for me was Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk. Because in ring, that gave me three straight pay-per-views of four-star quality matches, like high quality matches, and
does it also give me AJ?
Yeah, it did give me AJ, but that wasn't where it was. It wasn't yet booking wise at its worst.
For
AJ, well, no, I mean storyline wise of why these two would be feuding. As far as annoying me, yes, AJ fucking annoyed me right away.
Storyline wise, as to why they were feuding, Daniel Bryan won like a match on Raw to beat Jericho or something, to be the number one contender for the title for their first whatever it was that they, the Extreme Rules show, the same one as Cena. Maybe that was – no, it wasn't Extreme Rules. It was one after that.
Jericho had like three straight months also of – he had three straight months of – that's okay, that's my worst feud of the year.
Yeah.
Jericho versus Punk.
It gave me under delivering matches.
As far as the matches, they weren't as good as I expected, and the feud itself was stupid.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I think we did talk about that one last week. But I think I will go flip side, and probably for the same reason. I just like the matches better that you picked, Brian and Punk. It was an almost identical situation. It was AJ and Daniels.
Yeah, and here's where I go. Claire Lynch.
Versus
it did, right? It did go too long.
The feud?
I mean, I love watching those guys work against it, but I think it did go on. It's too long. So I don't think it – I mean, it was just a bunch of great matches, but not a bunch of great storytelling. I like about Punk and Bryan is it went the right amount of time. It was three straight pay-per-views, really good matches, and then over.
Yeah, it didn't really tell me a story. I guess it did, but it involved AJ. But it also brought us the Kaz and Daniels tag team.
Well, they were already a team, but they were
No, because that whole thing, remember when it first started, Kazarian was a hostage of a hostage of Daniels, or was like a what it was. And then he had the Stockholm Syndrome, and he cut his hair, and then he joined Daniels.
Yeah, yeah.
Another bad influence.
He cut his hair years ago.
No, but he shaved it.
Yeah, that's true.
He had short hair, and then he shaved his head to be like Daniels. But, yes, they had a great on Impact tonight. I've only seen half of Impact. Should mention two things. Is Kazarian had a fucking bang-on AJ Styles impression last week.
That was pretty fucking funny.
It was like... perfect.
Yeah, no, that was good.
And Daniels didn't do a bad James Storm tonight.
Really?
On Impact, yeah, that was pretty funny. Yes. Jeff Hardy is their TNA Wrestler of the Year.
On their votes,
that's how they kicked off Impact. So Wrestler of the Year, then. If we talk about Feud of the Year, a Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, for me, Wrestler of the Year is Austin Aries. As far as entertainment combined with solid wrestling, I don't think he had a bad week, nevertheless a bad month or pay-per-view. Everything he did well. Every single time he was out there, he was entertaining and had good, solid matches. The X Division, I think he really, really emerged this year. He was the best thing in TNA for the whole year overall because, like I said, I mean, Bully Ray, in some ways, I think you can make an argument for him. I mean, he had a great year, and he's great on the mic, but his in-ring work still isn't the level. Whereas Austin Aries, as far as A, being a personality, B, being entertainment, and C, being great matches. Now, you do have to say, okay, he's not drawing because he's on TNA. He's not drawing at all. So do you have to factor that in? And I'll counter with, well, yeah, but the people who are on top in WWE are drawing less and less. So, I mean, Survivor Series, we talked about it being a bad buy rate. We didn't say it's the worst Survivor Series in history.
Yeah, and it's the worst Survivor Series in history. We didn't know that at the time because we just got the number and didn't really know the meaning behind that.
So, okay, Austin Aries isn't drawing, but you know what? Neither is the people on top in WWE. Neither was Sheamus or CM Punk, really, or anybody else. So, I mean, fuck, John Cena outside of The Rock and Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And that was that him drawing or was that somebody else? So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's Austin Aries. Who's your pick for Wrestler of the Year?
Like Austin Aries, I would go with similar vein, similar situation with Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
You going into WrestleMania as a champion, losing that championship, and as I think we talked about last week, probably the best thing that happened to him coming out of losing that title, a bigger star.
Yeah.
Always great matches, entertaining as hell. I watched a Saturday morning Slam, the best of, had that Tyson Kidd and Daniel Bryan match. And
Comedy
there was
Max,
a point.
Right?
Yes, but hilarious.
Yeah.
Doing this thing where Daniel Bryan like grabs his ankles to be like a crab, and so his shoulders can't go down on the mat.
Yeah.
And so Tyson Kidd's like pushing him around like a ball, and there's no possible way that Daniel Bryan's shoulders can touch the mat, so he can't get pinned. Well, fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, all he needed was kick him in the head.
I'll give you the two reasons why I didn't pick him, because he was in my consideration. I say never a bad week, never a bad whatever. He was great as champion going into Mania. And then he lost the belt, I didn't think that was a bad thing for him. What was bad was they didn't take advantage of it. Austin Aries was never a tag team guy. He was always a single star. And a guy who has spent the last several months as a tag team guy, I didn't think I could include. Plus the fact he should have been Performer of the Year, because he should have been given the belt again, and they should have built the company around him. Because even though he wasn't moving ratings, neither is CM Punk, and the in-ring reaction and the crowd, they had that momentum. They had that Austin 316 moment. He should have been the Wrestler of the Year. Because they fucked it up, I can't give it to him, but it's not his fault.
No, that's sad. And that's
fair. Same with CM Punk. I mean, yes, okay, he's on top the whole year. And he had some moments where he was good on the mic, and he's been really good as a heel lately. Though I don't like seeing – I think his character is less drawing power now because of how they turned him into a chicken shit against The Rock than he would have if he had been a dominant champion. That said, I can't put him in there because he's in my worst feud of the year. So even though, yes, he's in my second best feud of the year, and he's got all the matches against, you know. So he's had a bunch of good matches and a bunch of good moments. Ultimately, when you're what took him out of the running for me was just that. The fact that he was champion without A, being the number one star, and B, even bigger, he was champion with his WrestleMania feud being the biggest disappointment of the year. So I can't give it to him.
Well, and I did agree, and I think the bigger thing to me is with CM Punk not being Wrestler of the Year is that it's like you said, is that he's been the champion all year, but you know it was The Rock and Cena, it was Brock and Cena, it was Triple H and Brock.
Yeah.
You know there was a little bit when he did turn heel, and you know it was him and the Ryback.
Yep.
Then sure, but
once
that. Really once, exactly, in the 12 months. I mean, I guess you'd say twice if you go back to the TLC prior when it was Punk and Del Rio and Miz in a three-way, but that, you know, wasn't really, you know, that was early in his run, and nobody gave a fuck about that anyway,
right? No, that technically wasn't this year.
Well, no, I just mean in that time that he was a champion.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, yeah, that was not a banner year for CM Punk. That's
no, not
sure.
A poor year, but just you know, not Wrestler of the Year.
I think
for me.
If anything, it's almost like a setup year for Punk. You know what I mean? It was like
he should be a bigger star going forward out of this year.
Yeah, you know? Losing again. He's a guy we're losing to the Rock.
And that's
kind of
how I feel about Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan to me now won't be pushed back to Zack Ryder level. You know,
that's
like
right.
Jack Swagger. On the other hand, I don't feel like he's reached where he should get to yet, and that's why I can't quite give it to him.
Right.
Austin Aries had that moment. They should have probably kept the belt on him, but and the fact that the crowd chose him at Bound for Glory over Jeff Hardy, I think that says a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the food and the wrestlers of the year.
Yep.
You have another. I guess email or Twitter question about something about the last 30 years.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed this because we now send it everything to Addy at We Talk Wrestling. We both checked the email, but I managed to notice this one from old buddy Johnny Bones Jones. What the fuck?
Jones Bones.
Jones.
Johnny Jones Bones.
Johnny Jones Bones. That was the name. Johnny Jones Bones. Fuck.
You check the because you check the emails and then it doesn't pop up on my thing if you see it first.
Oh,
that's why.
Sorry. Anyways, he just and I don't have it in front of me, obviously, but he was asking, based on our last week discussion where we picked the top 10 or 13 or 75 moments that people should watch
496
as it went on, he's wondering if we're to go back the last 30 years during WrestleMania. I know WrestleMania is only 29 years, but he made a little mistake. That's no big deal. If we're to go back the last 29 years, then what are the five best years? So I don't know how you want to do this. Do you want to pick the five best years individually, like each of us? Or do you want to come up with a consensus? Or how do you want to go about this? Because he didn't say.
I don't. We could just kind of banter back and forth, I guess, and talk about best years.
All right. Let's talk about what are the best years of wrestling that it's had basically since in the modern era, if you consider that when WrestleMania debuted.
Yeah. Well, one of the best years in wrestling, maybe 1997. I'd start with that one because if anybody is listening to the show, they know that that's probably my favorite year in wrestling.
And you know what? I'll go the next year. I think 1998 is the best year in wrestling.
Do you think 98 was better?
Yes.
See, the thing is, when I look at that, is I almost like 99 better than 98 in that, like, when I look at, I mean, Highway to Hell was good, but I also
got Highway to Hell to me was, that was the height of the Attitude Era. Until WrestleMania 17. It was the best Russo ever did. Highway to Hell was great. You had the Austin stuff, 98, Austin and Tyson. And all the Austin and Vince McMahon. That entire feud was that year. But also what you had was, see, in 97, WCW, I think, had a lot of flaws. And WWF, the problem with 97 for me is WWF didn't really start to take off till about March. And then March until November in that range was fantastic. But February, January were kind of – they were still trying to gain their momentum because 96 had been a pretty shitty year outside of a couple moments for them. Whereas 96 was a tremendous year for WCW. I don't think 97 was that great a year for them.
Okay, here. They laid the foundation, okay, in late 96 for Brett's –
absolutely.
Heel turn when he was whining.
And 96 for me gets consideration, definitely for best years.
I just mean towards the end for WWE in that Survivor Series and that Armageddon or whatever the December pay per view was at the time, leading into the Royal Rumble because that's what the Royal Rumble where Austin cheats to win that leads to the final four.
And you know what? That's not that good an event.
Which?
Neither one of those. Neither that Royal Rumble is not that good an event, and that Final Four is not that good an event. And they hadn't really turned the corner yet.
You're talking about good events, and then you want to throw 98 into it.
98 had
what the fuck was the undercard in 98? Seriously, like Southern Justice? The Headbangers? Yeah, exactly. I don't even remember. That's the point. The op-top stuff was good enough, and that's sort of where you're going with. But I'll flip over to WCW in 97 when you're saying that they didn't have a very good year in 97. All of 97 was built to Hogan and Sting.
Yep.
And that, to me, culminated 97 for WCW. You had them culminating it, I mean, with Hogan and Sting. The NWO formed in 96, and then... Then you look at a year later with that finger poke of doom in early 99 is WCW's,
that's
going off the cliff.
Yep.
Well, that's them going off the cliff, but they were already going down, I would say, in 98, whereas I look at 97.
You know what? They were and they weren't. Like, there was periods in time. Here's the thing. For me, 96, consistently, WCW had a better weekly product than WWF. No question.
Yes, it's true. Okay? It's true.
97, WWF had definitely, no question in my mind, a better weekly product. 98, the reason I like it was weekly, Nitro or Raw, either one of them could be the better show. There was a period when Nitro was better. There was a period when Nitro was giving me in 98, was giving me the best wrestling consistently I'd ever seen on TV in the best of seven with Benoit and Booker T.
Yeah.
And that's the best... in-ring wrestling we ever saw on a consistent weekly basis in North American history. Was that best of seven?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the best of seven. I was going to say in terms of...
There was periods where I was going, WCW is better, and I'm cheering for them. And there's periods where WWF was better and I was cheering for them. And I was back and forth. And for me, that was the best year. That was the most exciting year. I was most personally invested because I was cheering for both sides at different times. And because I could see greatness on both sides at different times.
So yeah, we had 97 and 98, basically, are 2 years that we've picked. I mean, I would disagree with the 98 as well. I mean, that's just there. I'd also go back to 89.
89 for sure. 89 is a tremendous year.
It's got to be there. You know, how do you, 87 gets consideration because it was WrestleMania 3.
I think, you know, 87 definitely gets consideration for sure. Again, you look at the feuds, you look at the top feuds of that year at WrestleMania. And, of course, WrestleMania is early in the year. But they were still able to continue. I mean, they didn't have SummerSlam that year. They had Survivor Series. That was the first.
They didn't have SummerSlam. It was the first ever Survivor Series.
It was in 87. Really you had Saturday night. You had a lot of Saturday night's main events. That's kind of what, you know, was the big things in between. But,
right.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you had some great moments for sure.
Lanny Poffo getting headbutted.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But I think, yeah, like 87, I guess, would have to stand out to me as well. And then we look at...
I don't know if I quite put 87 in there, the same level as 89. How about 1990?
No, no, no.
1992, how about?
Well, I was trying to think of it. Again, it's... I can't go 92. As you should go 92.
No. 92 is actually kind of tough. 2000, I think, was a strong year.
Well, yes, 2000. Well, again, for WWF.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. WCW was almost dead. Yeah, WWF, but you know what?
I mean, it's just the WWF, right?
Well, ECW still was interesting that year. But probably not, you're right, they're not their best. And 2000 was tremendous with the, you know, things like the Benoit, Angle and Jericho for the IC belt and stuff like that. I mean, that was great shit, right?
Oh yeah, that was tremendous. It was, but I think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of anybody else.
Basically, almost like this. We can throw out 85. Okay?
Yeah, we can throw out 86.
86, WrestleMania 2?
Yeah, we can throw out WrestleMania 2. We could throw out Uncle Elmer against adorable Adrian Adonis. We can throw out Hercules against, what's his name, Ricky Steamboat. We can throw out Tito Santana and the Junkyard Dog against the Funks. We can throw
that was
out...
Good. That was good.
It was a good match, but, I mean, it's... WrestleMania 2 was...
No, yeah, but you had some interesting. You had some interesting stuff happening over in NWA, though.
Yeah, you did, but... I mean, again, they've asked us for our five best years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would put 1,000 ahead of...
And 86? 86, isn't that when you saw...
right now, 89.
Wait a second, 86. Was Orndorff and Hogan 86 or 87?
That was 86.
It's 86, so then you can't throw out 86.
Well, you can't throw it out, but you can't... I said they asked for top five, and that's why I'd throw it out. I mean, it's... I said 89 is a consensus, right?
89 is a consensus. I think 97, 98.
97, 98. So we're up to 3 years there, right?
For 3 years.
And so we've got two more years that we've got to pick in the last 30.
So 88, WrestleMania 4, Savage.
Winning the tournament,
DiBiase,
right?
Honky Tonk Man. So WWF definitely had some good stuff. WCW or NWA at the time.
Sting.
Yeah, that's kind of the emergence of Sting, Lex Luger.
Well,
and
Champions was the Sting, right? Yeah. Was that Sting Clash that went up against WrestleMania 4.
Yeah. So I think 88 definitely is a strong year.
You had the first Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
that year. And your first SummerSlam that year. So you had your first, I mean, Royal Rumble wasn't a pay-per-view, it was a television special, but you had your three pay-per-views for WWF that year. We've said 89, and I mean, you talk about WrestleMania and such, but it also has, Orndorff. So that WrestleMania 2 and Orndorff balance out. We said 89, and 89 had Zeus in it.
Yeah.
So, but it's a slam dunk.
But it also, it had Steamboat versus Flair, and, that's just chilling. So 89 is the standard bearer.
90, I can't do 90. I don't know. I mean, again, that whole period, I guess, I enjoyed as
okay,
growing
we're not,
up. But
we're not going to throw out, we're throwing out 85.
Yeah.
We're throwing out, let's throw out 86 then.
Okay.
We're throwing out 90. We're throwing out 91.
Yeah, we're throwing out the WrestleMania against the Iraqi War. Yeah, 91.
92, I think we got. I mean, 90. I mean, I love WrestleMania 1992, WrestleMania 8. I love it. Flaws, but I love it.
I thought it was WrestleMania 7 you loved. No, that was Brian Knobbs.
That was Brian Knobbs. Yeah. I love WrestleMania 8. I do, but there's flaws to it, no question. And SummerSlam was a two-match show. WCW was in dire straits without Ric Flair.
That Ron Simmons, starting to get Vader, but I mean, not, it.
So it's bad. So 93 and 94 are very bad. 95 is very bad. So I think we have to put 96 in there. I mean, I know WWF was not at its best yet, but I'll give it. 96 had a few things. Number 96 had Austin 316, and it had had the Austin and Bret Hart first match at Survivor Series. Obviously, it had Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero at Halloween Havoc. It had the great NWO stuff.
I thought that was 98.
Was it 98? I thought that was 96.
It might be 96, but for some reason I thought it was 98. But
we have to Google it while you're talking. I won't really be listening to you anyways.
Well, it's good. Mo is fat. I thought
not
that there was...
Not as fat as it used to be.
Hmm?
Not too fat for...
Oh, that's true.
Well, I was having $10.
Really? You get 11 of those back. But trying to think of what else. I mean, yeah, I would... That 96... So, I mean, the funny thing is we're like 96, 97, 98. You know, we're all... And again, those are Monday Night War years.
Yeah.
And, all... We're probably three of the great. And then we said, 89. And we said maybe 2000, right?
1997. So...
1997.
That was Halloween Havoc 97. So there we go. Back to why 1997 was great.
Yes. Going up against the same month as the first Hell in the Cell.
That's right.
Exactly. I mean
first
the outside
Hell in the Cell. So the Hell in the Cell with Taker and Mankind, 98.
Yes, that's right. But I'm trying to think of any other, The only thing with 93 is that 93 did have that Sting and Davey Boy on the Island skit.
It sounds to me like we're probably going to go with 96, 97, 98, 88, 89. The five best years.
Yeah, I could do 88, 89.
Do any of the last 12 years warrant any consideration?
Well, again, 9 years ago, WrestleMania 20, right?
Yeah. Which was but WrestleMania 20 building up to it was really shitty booking, like generally.
I just think, and that's the whole thing when I look back.
And after,
Eugene as the Thing and JBL coming out of nowhere. So, I mean, you can't even do it. I'm just trying to think of moments.
What was it? I think it was 2005. You had, it may have been 2004. I think it was 2005 when you had Undertaker versus Kurt Angle having great matches. You know, you had, when was Lesnar there first time around and getting his first and feuding with Big Show and Undertaker and SmackDown 6. When was that era?
Was that 2003?
Was that 3 or 4 or 2? 2002, because that would have been WrestleMania 19 that would have been a year before Benoit actually got the belt, right? So that's SmackDown
2001, 6. So it would have been 2002, you're right, yeah.
So that would have been, that was, SmackDown was the best show pretty much you can imagine back then.
But Raw, didn't Raw have like HLA and Katie Vick?
Yes, Raw had HLA and Katie Vick and Scott Steiner showing up and fucking up matches and you know, really shitty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it had Kane electrocuting Shane McMahon's nads and shit like that. Like it had some awful shit.
Yeah.
So
I mean, when you think about consistently, you know, we're both sides. And is that I would just
kind of go back. Yeah, I think it was 04. You had Angle versus Angle versus Undertaker. You had Angle versus Shawn Michaels. You had
Then you had Batista turning as well, which was great.
Yeah,
Batista stuff, which was great.
I think 04 definitely wore its consideration. I could put 04 maybe ahead of 96.
Yeah, maybe. That's, I could see that.
Yeah, and since then, though, no.
Because even 96 outside
really
of,
in the John Cena era, if John Cena won his first world title at WrestleMania 21,
we
haven't had a consistently great year since.
No, that's right. So,
In 2006, TNA, I think 2006, maybe 7, I think it was 2006, TNA was tremendous, but, I mean, you know, 12 people were watching. That was when they were on Fox Sports
Net. When they were only on the internet, when they didn't have a TV deal at all, were some of their best.
Best stuff ever.
Yeah, that's actually really when I was watching them a lot was online.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
So we got our five best there. Been a good hour and whatever, a half, three quarters or whatever.
Yeah, I think we did good. Anything else you expect about Raw this Monday that in the preview that's going to happen or what's going to happen with The Rock or what's going to happen with anything else?
I've heard, and this leads you possibly to your Brock prediction. I have heard that people are going to be leaving this show talking about it.
Okay.
So we've got something planned, I guess, for the finish. Which, if it's a TLC match, then Brock would make some sense, or you know, who knows? But people are going to be talking about it, the finish of the match. So
and Rock, and that's. Rock has signed on for more dates than he was going to do.
And God, Rock's a full-timer.
Yeah, basically.
He's Raw, SmackDown.
Yeah, he's going to be Raw, SmackDown, and he's going to also he's going to do Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to have a match there, in fact.
See, that would be...
I think that'd be a mistake, but...
Well, I don't know.
It's not a mistake from... Does it... Okay. When I say it's a mistake... It would increase the buys for Elimination Chamber. Does it increase the buys for Elimination Chamber and decrease the buys for WrestleMania and decrease the specialness? Maybe not.
I don't think so because then again, but Rock's also the champion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Rock's title defense, I mean, you do Rock Punk 2 there where cashes in.
I think you'd better off doing, and then that sets up CM Punk now looks like the guy for Undertaker, so.
We talked about that a while back.
Yeah. Now it's looking pretty much confirmed. So, maybe. I mean, because I don't think you have him defend in the Elimination Chamber. Just one Elimination Chamber. I still like I still don't even like the title defender in the Elimination Chamber.
I know. I still like the Raw. Whoever doesn't get the Rumble goes in Elimination
the
Chamber.
The last five guys eliminated in the Royal Rumble who don't win go in on the order of their elimination into the Elimination Chamber. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then it's a shot at Big Show
yeah.
or whoever the other champion is, right? That's
exactly.
done. I mean, but that's the other thing, too, is because, I mean, that's the part when we're still a little bit excited about. And this is the part where I just sort of to kind of wrap up is point out that we're very much excited about, again, Road to WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah.
Seeing,
well, we're like, thank God the holidays are over. Now it can get good.
But we know exactly what's going to happen. Not like,
yeah,
we know
it doesn't ruin my excitement.
Exactly, and that's the point where WWE is always trying to just swerve for the sake of swerving, and it's like, no, we're excited, and we know
Speaking
exactly.
Speaking of which, everybody out there, go pick up the comic book Swerve, wrestling comic book. It's fantastic.
Vince Russo wrote a comic book?
No, it's fantastic. It's well written. His writer's name is John Judy.
Jingleheimer Schmitz.
Idiot.
You know what's funny about that is that his name is my name too. But I'm just looking at
fucking have to do a podcast with this asshole.
John Judy?
What were you saying?
I don't remember. No, yeah,
just that we're excited, even though we know what's going to happen. Oh yeah, there's no question in my mind. I'm going to Royal Rumble. I know Rock could face him in next month in a rematch. There's absolutely no way Punk doesn't win that title that match, and I don't care. I know he's winning the title, and I'm still looking forward to it.
So the Rock is winning the title.
I'm going to sit there. We're going to be live, and when he wins the title, I will fucking pop.
Oh, and the Rock wins the title. Yeah,
absolutely. It's a moment.
And John Cena will win the Rumble.
And when that happens, I will react. It's a moment. It's, you know what? It's fine.
Are you going to throw down your pop?
Nope.
No, but because it's what should happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a matter of when does Dolph Ziggler cash in that fucking...
Well, that's on SmackDown, too. And the thing is...
Yeah, exactly. And does he do it at WrestleMania after the match with Del Rio? Maybe Del Rio beats Del Rio or Ryback, but probably Del Rio beats Big Show, gets the belt. After a grueling match, he cashes it in, wins it, and you have your next feud.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would do it at this point.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, the nice part about that too is that you could see a situation at any point. I mean, wouldn't the winner of the grueling elimination chamber be ripe for the pickings?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Then you go into WrestleMania as the champion, presumably, right into the next pay-per-view. So
I just don't see who he defends against, though.
No, I mean, the thing is that SmackDown World title or that World Heavyweight title, whatever, that it's all just a big schmoz there.
Yeah.
Is it, nothing's going to mean anything. Hell, it's going to be the WrestleMania opener anyway. So it's one of those things where, because they don't have a defined, they actually have a lot more, well, quote-unquote, creative license.
Yeah.
To kind of, they could go in a lot more different directions, and one won't really mean any more than the other.
So give me what I want and what I expect out of the other title. And this title, you have your creative freedom, and just tell a good story. And we're fine.
Exactly.
Because I'm not emotionally invested or expecting anything.
Which is what I thought they were going to do last year with Punk and Jericho, and then they fucked it up.
Yes, they did.
So.
Yes, they did.
That's
WWE, folks.
Woo!
It's too bad they aren't WWF anymore, because you could, like, renamed it to, you know, We Wrestling Fuck Up, something like that, you know?
We're Wrestling Fuck Ups?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know why that's funny. Anyways, all right, let's get the hell out of here. Unless you have something else.
All right. Okay. No, nothing else. So that's going to do it. We got
OUT.
ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com to
Not
email us.
Not ADDIE OUT.
No, just ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com.
But the show, when we're done, we're going to be OUT.
I think so. I've heard that you were planning on coming OUT pretty soon.
Fuck oh. you. F-U-C-K. Y-O-U.
Just look at the bright side. At least that means you're coming. At We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. It's WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for yet another week of We Talk
Rate
Wrestling.
Rate us on iTunes.
Yes, rate us on iTunes. Rate us well on iTunes.
What the fuck? Why not?
Yes.
Now we're OU.
So, yeah. Okay. He's finally done it. And in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. It's okay you're gay.
Fuck you.